Well, if you've been with us over the last couple of months, we've been looking at Hebrews chapter 6 about the elementary teaching about the Christ. Let us press on to maturity and looking at the foundation that the Lord has for each one of us. And we're going to just read those verses again from Hebrews 6. Therefore, leaving the elementary teaching about the Christ, let us press on to maturity, not laying again a foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. We've done those two already. Of instructions about baptisms or washings and laying on of hands and the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. And this we will do if God permits. And we're looking at really this baptisms. It's plural, of course. And we've already looked at two of those, baptism in water, and we looked at baptism into the church. We're going to look at one today, which is a bit more contentious in Christian circles, sadly, and yet Scripture is very clear on this. It's baptism with the Holy Spirit or baptism in the Holy Spirit. I mean, both words are used. And we're going to look at baptism with the Holy Spirit. And there are several verses we're going to be looking at, several passages we're going to be looking at. Sadly, it's one of those things that causes so much problem in the church, because we often get brought up in a certain denomination or a kind of teaching, and we've got our spectacles on. We come into our Christian life, we get certain kinds of teaching, and we can put sort of spectacles on without really looking at what God's Word is saying. And can I encourage you, really, when you come to God's Word, to lay aside, in a sense, not just laying aside the good things you've learned, but just allow the Lord to speak to you from His Word. And I think if you do that, the Lord can make us bring us to a real clear understanding on an issue like this, which is so clear in Scripture. You see, there are some, sadly, that will say that the baptism with the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Holy Spirit which come from that are not for today. It's called cessationalism. And we'll quote, and I've had hear this quoted, 1 Corinthians 13 verse 8, which says prophecies will cease. It's that wonderful passage. But that's totally missing the point, because it goes on in the next passage giving instructions to the church how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. And of course, with all the things that have happened, I suppose, in extreme charismatica, then these have put some people off. And then what we then do is throw the baby out with the bathwater and want nothing to do with the baptism with the Holy Spirit. But actually, it's very clear that the baptism with the Holy Spirit is part of the foundation that God has for every one of His people, so that we will be solid and firm and can build God can build in our lives as He wants to. So let's have a look at some things. First of all, the word baptism actually is used in each of the four Gospels, where it talks about, and I'll just read one of them to you, but it has this in Mark 1, Matthew 3, John 1, and Luke 3, where it talks about Jesus being the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. Let me just read this to you. John answered and said to them, "As for me, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who is mightier than I, and I am not fit to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. So the Lord Jesus is the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And the fact that it's in all four Gospels seems to think it's pretty important. And we need to look at that. Now, just don't get put off by the word baptism. That's the word certainly feel we should be using, because that's the word that Jesus used. And John the Baptist certainly used it here. But there are other words used, actually, in Acts of the Apostles. Let's have a look at them. Acts chapter 8. Verse 16, because we spend a lot of time in the Acts of the Apostles this morning. Well, let's read. It's good to read this passage through, because we'll be looking at this for several things. So let's look at from verse 9. Now, there was a man named Simon who formerly was practicing magic in the city and astonishing the people of Samaria, claiming to be someone great. And they all, from smallest to greatest, were giving attention to him, saying, "This man is what is called the great power of God." And they were giving him attention, because he had for a long time astonished them with his magic arts. But when they believed Philip, and preaching the good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, men and women alike. Now that baptism was in water. Even Simon himself believed. And after being baptized, he continued on with Philip, and he observed signs and great miracles taking place. He was constantly amazed. Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For he had not yet fallen upon any of them, they had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them and they were receiving the Holy Spirit. So there is another phraseology used here, is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. A receiving of the Holy Spirit, and even, I suppose, the Holy Spirit was falling upon them. And we'll look at that passage in a bit more detail later. Another word that's used is in Acts 9, when Paul was baptized in the Holy Spirit. That's Acts 9, chapter 17. This is when Ananias went to him. Saul had been blinded, remember, after Damascus Road experience, and he couldn't see. And it says there, Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." So there's another word, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I suppose baptism is an initial filling, when God comes and visits us and meets with us and fills us with his Holy Spirit. But the Bible talks about subsequent fillings as well. So we go on being filled, and Ephesians mentions that, and we'll look at that as well later. And then I suppose one more verse on that, Acts 10 verse 45. Verse 44, this is when Peter was speaking to Cornelius. While Peter was still speaking, and the family of Cornelius as well, of course, who was a Gentile. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon them all. Those who were listening to the message, all the circumcised believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. So there's another way of looking at what the baptism, how it's described. But the clear thing is that every one of God's people needs to be filled, be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Absolutely critical. We're going to look at some things why we need that in a moment. But first of all, when should a believer be baptized, or whom should be baptized in the Spirit? Because that's quite critical these days as well. It is for believers. It's not for unbelievers. And sadly, I have seen this misused, where unbelievers have been prayed with, and things have happened, and that's not the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit will not be working and moving in an unbeliever who has not acknowledged Jesus Christ and committed his life to him. So we have to ask, what are these manifestations that we are seeing? Well, there are deceiving spirits about, friends. We need to be aware of that. That the enemy is well able to copy, to try and convince that something good is happening, when actually, it's not the Lord at work as well. But that's no reason to throw out what God wants to do, because the enemy has a counterfeit. But it is vital that we realize we do not pray for the baptism or the filling with the Holy Spirit for unbelievers. And tragically, I've heard testimony, people say this, they have been prayed with, they were not believers, they had no acknowledgement of God at all whatsoever, and something happened to them, and they were told when they after this event that they were now born again. They hadn't exercised their will, they hadn't repented, they hadn't put faith in Christ. But these things have happened, and we have to be careful, don't we, friends, how we handle these precious things of the Lord. So it's for believers only. And it's to happen when? Well, we've read a couple of verses in Scripture. It happens after water baptism for some, in Acts 8, I think it was. But it happened actually before water baptism for some. So there's no a hard and fast rule in Scripture that this has to happen here then, and we've got to follow this letter of the law, and it's got to be done on the sixth day after repentance or whatever. It's done as the Lord lays it upon our hearts and gives us that faith that this is something we need. Well, I want to spend a bit more time looking at why we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit before we look at how we are to receive this. Because it is vital that we understand it is important for us as believers. And we're going to look at Acts 1 first of all. So turn back to Acts 1, please. And verse 8. Verse 7. Jesus said to them, "It is not for you to know times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the earth." So the first reason we need the baptism, the filling with the Holy Spirit, is that we need that power that God has for us. If we are relying upon our own energies, our own power, we're not going to get very far in the Christian life, friends. We need to be those that are relying upon the power that God gives by his Holy Spirit. Particularly in service. Particularly in the witnessing. And are representing Christ. That's what it means. We are called to represent Christ in our workplace, in our families, in the communities that we live in. And we can only do that in a fitting and effective way if we have that filling, that baptism with the Holy Spirit. It's not going to happen otherwise. We will be lacking in so many ways. That's why Jesus was so clear to his disciples. He said, after he'd risen from the dead, he said, "Go and wait in Jerusalem." He didn't say, "Oh, now I'm risen from the dead, you just go and do everything you can do, go out and spread the word." No. He said, "You go and wait in Jerusalem until I come and I visit you by my Holy Spirit and baptize you with the Holy Spirit." That had to happen, friends, before they could even think about going out and taking out the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were not going to get very far if they were just going to go out in their own energies. That wasn't going to happen. That wasn't going to happen. And incidentally, that Pentecost experience was not the day of their new birth. They were born again when Jesus breathed on them in John's Gospel. In that sense, this is when they were filled, baptized in the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit fell upon them. And they received the Spirit as well, as we read earlier. So there's a sense we need to know this so that we can be effective in our service. And in our witness and our representation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are Christ's ambassadors, friends. And therefore we need all that he can give us to represent him in this world. And there's a boldness that God wants us to have as well. Look at Acts 4. And verse 8. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit. Incidentally, we read through the Acts several times where it talks about Peter being filled again with the Holy Spirit. So it wasn't a one-off experience. There's an initial filling, of course. This baptism with the Holy Spirit. But then there's ongoing infilling. As and when we need that. We need to be walking in such a manner that God can do that. And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man, as to how this has been done well," and it goes on, verse 13. "Now as they observed the confidence of Peter and John," or the boldness, "and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed." Well, praise God for that. We don't need to be educated and trained. We just need the Holy Spirit to enable us, to equip us. That's where the confidence was coming from. These disciples were cowering after the resurrection, after the death of Jesus, because they were afraid of what was going to happen. There was no boldness about these men at that time. It was only when the Spirit came upon them and enabled them that there was a confidence to stand and to speak and to share, to tell and to proclaim the living Lord. And friends, that's what we need as well. We need that. We're no difference to Peter and to Paul. We have the same need of this infilling of the Holy Spirit. And then Acts 10, verse 45, which we read earlier. We didn't read it all, however. I've got the wrong passage there. But no, at the end of Acts 10, when Paul... I've got the right one. No, Acts 9, thank you. And then we read in verse 70, "Ananias, laying his hands on Paul, and said, 'Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit.' And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales." Friend, so often when God meets us in this way, when he fills us with his Spirit, scales can fall from our eyes. The Word can be opened up to us. We can see much more from what God in God's Word. We can receive more from him. There's an enabling. It's as if the gateway to the kingdom of God is open wide. And we can enter in and we can receive more of what he has for us. And particularly in the Word. If you're struggling in the Word to get something from it, well, have you been baptized with the Holy Spirit? Because God can open his Word up to you far more when you have been baptized. And the scales can fall off your eyes. And you begin to see things. And interestingly, it struck me many times, really, we can so often get it wrong about Israel in the church, can't we? And I just feel that so often it's because we're not right on this in this area. When we are right in this area, so often we are right on Israel. And I know that from a child, being in a household where my parents were Methodist, but Pentecostalist as well, in a sense. And they were right on Israel. They weren't trained or educated, in a sense, in theological college, but they were right on Israel. And so often when we are filled with God's Spirit, when we are baptized with the Spirit, and we don't set aside God's Word, tragic that has happened in some Pentecostal churches, where we know something of the fullness of the Holy Spirit, then we put aside the Scriptures. And we soon go off track. Friends, the Holy Spirit works through God's Word. And he will not do it any other way. God has elevated his Word. And he works through the Word. And if we put aside God's Word, then we'll soon go into error. But when we are filled with God's Spirit, and when we hold fast to God's Word, we are going, like a train in a sense, on the tracks in the right direction. We're not off the tracks when we put God's Word aside and we're going anywhere and everywhere. But when we are holding fast to the Word of God, seeking to be filled with his Spirit, then we will be going with the power of God in the right direction. And that's not only true regarding Israel, that's regarding other things in Scripture as well we could be wrong on. Okay. 1 Corinthians, well, let's look at this one. Luke 4 then, please. Luke 4. And verse 1, because Jesus had just been baptized and the Holy Spirit descended upon him like a dove. And then it says in Luke 4, Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led around by the Spirit in the wilderness, and for 40 days being tempted by the devil. Friends, if we are going to be those that overcome the temptations that that the enemy would bring upon us, then we need to know this fullness of the Spirit. It's so much harder if we are trying to battle these things in our own flesh and own strength. We won't do it. We will be overcome. And Jesus had to be full of the Spirit, it says here, to overcome these things. Now, if the Lord Jesus had to know the fullness of the Spirit, then surely we do as well. We have to, friends. If we're going to be those who live overcoming lives, that's not to say we'll be perfect. Not this side of eternity, but we'll be able to live those overcoming lives, then we need to know this baptism with the Holy Spirit. We need to know it. Then 1 Corinthians 12. And verse 7. Now we're looking here at the gifts of the Holy Spirit that come subsequent to the baptism with the Holy Spirit. There are gifts that God moves us into. And there's a list of the gifts there in 1 Corinthians 12, which we're not going to go into. But I want to look at the reason why God uses these gifts in the church. And it talks there, but to each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It's for the common good of our brothers and sisters. It's for the building up. It's the encouraging, the exhorting of the body. You see, God wants to use each one of us in this way. That's why this part of the foundation is so vital. Because the gateway into these gifts of the Holy Spirit is not open to us, I don't believe, if we're not baptized with the Spirit. But when we are, The Lord can use us in these ways, and we are used for the common good. It's not for my gain, it's not for selfish ends. It's for the common good. Well, moving on. How are we going to be baptized in the Spirit? How does the Scripture talk about the process, if you like, of this baptism with the Holy Spirit? Well, mostly we see that it was through the laying on of hands. Interestingly, in Hebrews 6, the next part of the foundation is laying on of hands, as if these two go together. So primarily that's the way the Lord Jesus baptizes us with his Holy Spirit. It's by the laying on of hands. But that wasn't the only way that it happened. There were two incidences in Scripture where the Holy Spirit just fell. We know the first, of course. We know that with the beginning of the church, if you like, at Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples. And that's understandable. There was no one to lay their hands on them at the time. And then we see Cornelius, the Gentiles, and we can understand that as well, because for a Jew to lay his hands on the Gentiles was really a no-no. So God acted sovereignly, and he visited the Gentile believers, and he fell upon them, and he filled them with his Spirit. Now, that's not to say God can't do that today. Of course he can. He's sovereign. But God's main way, the prime way God works, is through the laying on of hands. And we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit by faith. Now, I want to look at the conditions, because there are conditions that we need to meet before we can be baptized. And I'm not talking about being born again, I'm talking about for the believer. If we're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, God wants us to experience the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But there are conditions. Let's look at some. Acts 2 verse 38. Peter said to them, "Repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ." He's talking about baptism of the Holy, in water as well here. "And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." But there's repentance. Repentance is necessary. And it talks also in Acts 5, if you turn over a few pages, verse 32. "And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him." You see, we need to be living lives that are in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. If we are deliberately living in disobedience, then that will cut us off from being baptized in the Holy Spirit. We need to be living in obedience. We need to be those who are repenting from things in our lives that we know to be wrong. And that's not to say again that we need to be perfect. If the Lord Jesus only baptized that were perfect, then none of us would ever be baptized with the Holy Spirit. But it's not. It's that we are seeking to live lives in obedience to what God is saying to us. And that we are seeking to live repentant lives, where we seek to put things right when we know that they are wrong. And then there's this receiving by faith. Let's look at Galatians 3 verse 2. Apologies for all these scriptures this morning, but at least it will stop you falling asleep. This is where Paul is sort of berating the Galatians, because they've begun in the Spirit, they began in faith, but now they are resorting to dead works and to try and accomplish things in the flesh by their own efforts. And Paul says this in verse 2, "This is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit," that means baptized by the Spirit, "by the works of the law, or by hearing with faith?" So the implication here is there needs to be a hearing with faith. There needs to be a sense that we know that God wants to do this. And we believe it, and we receive it by faith. And friends, God wants it for us. We need to understand the heart of the Father in this as well. Now let's look at Luke 11 for that. Luke 11. And verse 9. Jesus is speaking here. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by a son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Friends, we have a heavenly Father who longs for every one of his children to receive this gift of the Holy Spirit. It's his gift to you and I. He wants us to receive it in faith. And he's not a stingy father. He's a father who is big-hearted. He wants us to receive this. He's longing us to come into all the things that he has for us and to be filled with his Holy Spirit. It's his gift to his church. And we need to be those who are willing to receive it. And then one more condition. John 7, verse 37. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture says, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." By this Jesus spoke of the Spirit, whom those who believed him were to receive, for the Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. So friends, there needs to be a thirst in our lives. Oh friends, I do hope that you are thirsty for everything God has for you. This life is so short, isn't it? We only have one chance. Let's make the most of it. Let's thirst for him. Let's thirst for this gift of the Holy Spirit. And if you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit, go on thirsting for that constant infilling with the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 4 talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't be drunk on wine, it says, but being filled. Be filled. Go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's set our hearts on that. Let's be thirsty for everything God has for us. Let's be thirsty for this baptism in the Holy Spirit and subsequent fillings. Let's be hungry for all that he has for us. So if you've not been baptized in the Spirit, are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? Well, if you're not, ask the Lord, why not? You know, there's so many things can push out that thirst, and we can be taken up with all sorts of things and get our attention in this world. The enemy is very subtle and very clever at diverting our attention, our desires, if you like, to other things. We need to be taken up with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, don't be misled by some that say to be so heavenly minded he's no earthly good. That's rubbish, friends. If we are heavenly minded, if our perspective is on the Lord Jesus Christ, you will be of more use to God on this earth than anyone else. That is a phrase put about by those who perhaps want to avoid these things. So let's set our heart on him, friends. Let's set your heart on thirsting for everything he has for you. Don't be content with just a little bit. Thirst for everything. Everything that he has for you. Yes, in this respect of the baptism of the Holy Spirit, but everything in the Christian walk. Everything. Don't settle for second best. Set your heart on everything he has for you. Don't come to the end of your life and have regrets. Think, if only I'd taken hold of that then. Take every opportunity God gives you to receive everything he has for you. And you won't regret it, friends. Well, finally, I want to look at one more thing before we finish. And that's evidence. Because in all these incidences of the baptism with the Holy Spirit, there was evidence of this. There was evidence to the believers and others around as well that something had happened. And we need to see evidence in our lives. Now the evidence, it depends on really the person, I suppose, and what God determines in his divine will, what he's going to do. Because some, there were tongues, and often cases there were tongues that were given to those who were baptized in the Holy Spirit. But for some, there were prophecy. They were prophesying. for others, well, for Paul, none of those was mentioned. The scales fell from his eyes. So there's a sense that we will have the word open to us. But there should be evidence, friends, that we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Should it be immediate? Well, in most of these cases it were. It should be soon, after you've been baptized in the Holy Spirit. I know, speaking personally, it was a short time after that the evidence appeared. I knew something had happened when I was prayed with, but the evidence didn't appear immediately. I don't want to use a testimony as scriptural, but this don't be taken up with the fact that we need to be speaking in tongues immediately. But there should be evidence pretty soon, friends, of something's not right. And we need to ask the Lord why that is. But we need to receive by faith, friends. We need to be those who are believing, trusting in the Lord. The Lord has done something. We need to stand on what he's done. If you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit and prayed with, and you know that was what God wanted for you, stand on what he's done, friends, and walk in the good of it. And trust him completely. The Lord will bring you into the things that he has for you in his time. He knows what he wants for you, what he has for you. Stand on what he's done. Trust him as your good heavenly Father who has given you his gift. But if you've not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, well, friends, seek this. Go home and consider these things. Come and speak to one of us. Next door in the Bethel rooms, I put some leaflets out on the baptism with the Holy Spirit. Do take them and read them. And ask the Lord about it. And seek to get this foundational element right in your life. Because it's absolutely vital. Well, let's pray.